In Lansing, there's a lot going on regarding petitions for citizens' initiatives, and here to talk about that are our Friday political commentators, except it's Monday. Ken Sikkema, Senior Policy Fellow with Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican Majority Leader in the State Senate, is joining us, as well as Vicki Barnett, a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. Ken, let's start with Attorney General Dana Nessel's formal opinion on a Republican-backed law that would make petition drives more difficult. Nessel found some parts of that law were unconstitutional. What did you think of that opinion?
Well, I don't think anybody was really surprised with her opinion. I mean, it's important because her opinion at this point sets the rules for petition gathering. And I think that the key to her opinion is she ruled or opined, if you will, that the requirement that you can't get more than 15% of your signatures from any one congressional district, she ruled that unconstitutional, which, if that were not unconstitutional, I mean, it would make it harder, if you will, and more expensive to get these signatures. But, you know, that's her opinion, and until some court overrules it, it's the law.
Vicki, what was the reasoning behind Attorney General Nessel's opinion?
Her reasoning was that you can't put further restrictions on a constitutional right. And I think that there were two important parts of the law that was passed during lame duck session last year that she ruled were unconstitutional. One was that 15% threshold per congressional district. And the other was the requirement that if you're going to be a paid circulator, you need to file an affidavit saying that you're going to be a paid circulator and that there's a checkbox on the proposal page that people sign on the petition that will show that you are a paid circulator. And again, she ruled that unconstitutional. I think she did the right thing. I was surprised when the governor signed this. The problem with the 15% threshold, especially this year when we now have a court ruling that our districts are unconstitutionally gerrymandered, would make this an absolute nightmare for anybody trying to exercise their petition rights.
All right, you two. And neither one of you is a lawyer, but how much legal weight is given to a formal opinion of an attorney general?
Well, her opinion is basically the law until it's overturned. You know, it certainly binds all state agencies, and that would include the Secretary of State and the State Board of Canvassers that are in charge of, you know, overseeing the petition gathering process. You know, the theory behind this 15% limitation is that there ought to be some geographical diversity required when you gather signatures. Other states that allow for this have, some of them have this sort of geographical diversity requirement. But until it's overturned, her opinion has the effect of law.
Vicki, the sponsor of the legislation to restrict petition drives for citizen initiatives, wants the speaker to challenge the opinion in court. What do you think is going to happen there?
I think he's probably going to challenge it in court. I wouldn't be surprised. The legislature has a claim on their right to amend laws and to make law. And it's just going to further delay the process for anybody trying to put something on the ballot for the year 2020 election.
Well, let's talk about that, because right now there are two different petition drives in the works, one by Quicken Loans billionaire Dan Gilbert, who wants to make major changes to auto no-fault insurance, which, by the way, might not matter that much since the governor and the legislative leaders have struck a deal on an auto insurance overhaul. The other petition drive is by an anti-abortion group, or a couple of them, actually, who want to severely restrict abortion in Michigan. Both are attempts to circumvent vetoes by the governor, because as soon as enough signatures are gathered and it goes to the ballot, the legislature can take it up and pass it, and the governor has no role. So, Ken, the Republicans want to restrict citizen initiatives as of last session, but now it appears they're embracing citizen initiatives. Is this a new strategy we're seeing?
Well, the opinion from the attorney general really creates a lot of uncertainty, because the question becomes, what are the rules that you have to use when you're out there gathering signatures? Now, right now, it's her opinion that decides the rules. But if it's overturned in a court, let's say arguably next fall or next winter, then maybe it's a different set of rules. And the problem it creates is the summertime is the best time for gathering these signatures. So if you're looking at putting something on the ballot in the November 2020 election, you want this summer to gather those signatures because you only have a 180-day window to do it. So it does create a lot of uncertainty. I think in the words of one of the members of the State Board of Canvassers, it's a real quagmire, and I agree it is.
Vicki, what do you think of this workaround to cut out the chance of a veto from the governor?
I think this is really against the intent of the constitutional right of people to petition their government through legislation or changes in the Constitution. And in fact, all three of these proposals that you just talked about, the two that are being driven by Right to Life of Michigan and another group, as well as Dan Gilbert's work around the auto no-fault, are all designed to get a simple majority of the vote of the legislature and take the governor out of the works completely. And generally, that's not the goal of a petition drive. And in fact, the people who sign petitions for sick leave and for minimum wage increases in 2018 that should have been on the ballot were short-circuited by the legislature and then drastically changed. And I don't think the people that signed those petitions had anticipated that or had wanted that.
Ken, I think it's worth noting that Attorney General Nessel's opinion did find several aspects of the Republican-backed law were constitutional. What do you make of that?
Well, she distinguished between what she called, I think, process requirements, just sort of making sure the thing works smoothly, and substantive constitutional issues. And so, yeah, she ruled that some of the changes were, you know, basically sort of technical and process related, but the ones she ruled on constitutional, she felt restricted the right of the voters to go this route of voter-initiated amendments and laws.
Vicki, I think some observers were looking at that going, wow, we thought she'd just say the whole darn thing is no good, and that's what they expected, and yet it seemed to be a little more refined than that. What'd you make of it?
Well, there was a distinction between, as Ken said, the process part of this and the free speech rights of individuals, and that's where she really centered on people's constitutional free speech rights to pass petitions, to sign petitions, and to guarantee that something gets on the ballot. The things that she left in place were font size of the petition, how the petition is laid out, going to the State Board of Canvassers, which don't really impact that constitutional right directly. So I think she made the right choice. She didn't just throw it all out because there were some good things in there like font size, making sure that people can read the heading on a petition and can read the language on a petition. But let's talk. I really would want to talk about this 15% threshold just a little more because especially of the complications of the gerrymandering lawsuit where all of our congressional lines and state rep lines and state senate lines are going to be majorly overhauled. That means that people in the state, especially Southeast Michigan, where these caps are really going to be important if they are remaining in place on the 15% threshold, it means that those lines are movable, that what somebody signs today as a 15% threshold, especially in Oakland County, may find themselves in a different congressional district, which throws everything up in the air and really denies the ability of people to exercise their free speech rights and their constitutional rights to sign petitions. And that currently, the requirement for signatures on petition drives are organized by county. And those county lines are not up for question in gerrymandering or congressional districts. Those lines aren't moving. And so those are the standard we used prior to this law, and that's the standard we should continue to use.
Well, and the other reason I think Vicki's right is congressional lines are going to change every 10 years.
Well, they're going to change every 2 years for the next four.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, but county lines aren't going to change. So, I mean, I don't quite understand why they picked congressional districts last fall when they passed it versus county. You know, as I mentioned, a lot of states that allow for this actually do have these geographical diversity requirements, but most of them, to my memory, use counties.
Ken, regarding that, that's a lot we're juggling for this summer. What would you do if you were drafting a petition for a ballot initiative?
I think if I were interested in a petition drive of one sort or another, I'd want to get this in front of the state Supreme Court, sort of ASAP, and have them make a ruling whether she's right or the statute passed last fall is going to control, because the summer, as I pointed out, is a key time for getting signatures. And if you lose the bulk of this summer, it's hard to do everything in a 180-day window, which includes the winter time. So I'd want to get in front of the state Supreme Court as quickly as possible.
That is Ken Sikkema. He's senior policy fellow with Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican majority leader in the state Senate. And we heard from Vicki Barnett. She's a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. Thanks, you two.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lester.